All right, listeners, welcome to Mommy, What's a Funkadelic? Here on Penguin Radio, the time is now 6 p.m., so you know it's time for yet another journey along the evolution of the history of funk music. I'm your host, F. Scott Funkgerald, and welcome again to my last show of the school year. So today I'd like to recap some of what we've covered here in this evolution. So starting at the very beginning, way back when we started off the evolution with one of the godfathers of funk. This was taking place around the 1960s when funk began to evolve out of blues music. So the godfather here, James Brown, we started off with him, a song I'll also be playing later for you. And we talked a lot about the characteristics of funk music, which, as demonstrated by James Brown, rely mostly on the bass line of the song. A funk song has an assertive and percussive rhythm, and that rhythm on the bass is taking place of the presence of African or Cuban drums. James Brown's vocal style is also the common trait of funk music, where the lyrics aren't quite sung, they're not quite spoken, but somewhere in between in the sort of shouty or even whispery sometimes way. This vocal style eventually developed into the lyrical style of rap or hip-hop. So now let's recap a little bit of James Brown here with Cold Sweat, and I'll be back to recap some more of this semester of funk. So here's James Brown with Cold Sweat right here on Penguin Radio. Welcome back. This is Mommy, What's a Funkadelic? And I'm your host, F. Scott Funkgerald. That was James Brown getting funky with Cold Sweat. And that was part of the recap of this semester of funk. That was the very first song that I played on my radio show and remembering back to the beginning of the semester, which I believe is January, seems forever ago, I played that song and I had it on my playlist, and I remember being so absolutely heart-wrenchingly nervous for that show and going, just playing that song as soon as I could to catch my breath. I was sitting there just internally freaking out. But what I really love about that song is not just the percussion that's kind of like twisting, danceable percussion, is the horns. I really do love the horns. It reminds me a lot of Funkadelic, which I also played a lot of at the beginning of the show. George Clinton with his Parliament Funkadelic, which eventually turned into its own genre of funk music called P-Funk. And I also remember comparing the assertive and sassy bass lines to the hips of a big-bottomed woman. And I got a little bit of backlash for that, and I think that was my first radio controversy, which was totally fun. But I think anyone that understands music understands that comparing a rhythm to the hips of a big-bottomed woman is absolutely not sexist, because if you understand music, you'll understand that comparison and just the sexuality that goes into a lot of songs. So, all right. So next up on this recap, to kind of refresh all the fuzzy brains out there, I picked another song from these past Wednesday nights. And so next up, I'll be playing Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself by Sly and the Family Stone, because their contribution to funk music is really, really deserving of acknowledgement. It started in the 1970s, and they're still going. I saw Larry Graham last summer. But bassist Larry Graham, he really innovated the slap bass style. So this next song not only demonstrates the technical aspects of funk through the percussive bass line, but also through the character and the sass that is communicated. This song, I think, is a party contained in 4 minutes and 30 seconds and can turn a dull room into this spinning, jumping, and clapping dance floor like the switch of a light switch. So here is Sly and the Family Stone with Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself here on radio.dominican.edu. What's up, listeners? This is F. Scott Funk Gerald back here on Mommy, What's a Funkadelic? And you were just listening to Sly and the Family Stone with Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself, a song that is still haunting my daydreams after seeing Larry Graham, the bassist there, play it with, I believe, the drummer from the Meters, Zigaboo Modaliste, Brittany Howard from the Alabama Shakes, and Jim James from My Morning Jacket. They all performed that song together last year at a music festival in Tennessee called Bonnaroo. And they played it under a sort of tent-like structure. And it was, must have been like 2:30 in the morning, if not later. And that song still just rained in enough energy. I thought the top of the tent might actually detach and float away. So that song, it just evokes the greatest, happiest feelings. That slap bass there that you heard, which was a style innovated by Larry Graham, I would describe it as sticky and goopy almost. And in the modern day, I would compare that to because we've really in our music culture taken a turn towards electronic music, and I think that a new innovation of that sticky and goopy sound is found in like experimental electronic music, especially artists like Pretty Lights or Bass Nectar, an artist I saw recently called Grammatic. They use that sound as well, which I used to not enjoy at all. I will never forget the intro to Seinfeld, the TV show, with that slap bass song. I hated that. And even, I think, freshman year of high school, I went to a show and the musicians were playing music with that slap bass style. And I was like, I have to get out of here. I just couldn't vibe with it. And now I totally love it. So music tastes definitely do change, as does music through the ages. But another song from this run of Mommy, What's a Funkadelic, that really gets me dancing, whether I want to or not, it's absolutely infectious, is the song Get Down On It by Kool and the Gang. This song was discovered during our exploration of how funk music of the 70s began to fuse with the rising disco era of the 1970s, and thus this funky little baby was spawned. So here is some disco funk fusion for you. This is Kool and the Gang with Get Down On It. And you're listening to Penguin Radio.
Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Come on in. Get down on it. Get down on it.
by standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
'Cause I heard all the people saying,
get down on it.
Come on and
get down on it.
If you really want it.
Get down on it. All right, that was Cool in the Gang with Get Down on It, and welcome back to Mommy, What's a Funkadelic? I'm your host, F. Scott Funk Gerald, back with our recap of the evolution of funk music. So what you just heard with Get Down on It, which is totally going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the evening, was a fusion of funk with early disco. And so... when we came upon the disco era in our evolution, I told my listeners a couple stories just about that very interesting time period of the emergence of disco. So I asked my dad, you know, because he was alive during that time and of age where that was his scene. So he really enjoyed the emergence of disco versus the sort of going to bars and listening to Led Zeppelin and drinking beer. That wasn't really his scene. He was more into, you know, lining. He told me he would line up, you know, down the blocks of Chicago with his with his friends, and they'd, you know, get these girls, and they'd be all dressed up and looking clean instead of in these smoky bars, and they'd go in and they'd dance, and it was just a very different lifestyle that was coming into play here. You know, you're having disco clubs and go-go dancers, and very new. And it's very interesting to me also with the, because we discussed this in class today, and so this is a fresh thought on my mind, and I just want to put it out there. So you have this immersion of a new scene, a kind of like a polished, higher class version of dancing to music. And so when, and I'm just just asking these questions to evoke thought maybe, but with the immersion of this new polished scene, and then you have the introduction to people of cocaine and the partying lifestyle, and how that was very different from the the more bar lifestyle and the seedier areas and the immersion of crack cocaine, because with also the introduction of war on drugs and racial profiling, it's just a fresh thought in my mind. So I wanted to share it because it's very interesting and hopefully it evokes some thought. So anyway, back with our evolution, not only did funk sort of fuse into disco, but we also looked at music that had, where blues had turned into funk. So we focused that episode on blues music. Blues itself developed from the music of the slaves. So field chants and hollers and work songs, they became more intricate and funky with these simple bass lines of the blues inspired by the Afro-Cuban and African percussion, so the type of rhythms you would hear on a djembe or bongos. So to tribute to the blues, I picked one of my favorite Muddy Waters songs, full of character and feeling, and it's gritty and it's raspy and it's seductive, and it's exactly who Muddy Waters is, and has the sassy kick of early funk music. So right now we're going to take a listen to some Muddy Waters with What Kind of Woman Is This? And you're listening to Mommy, What's a Funkadelic? Here on Penguin Radio.
Thank you. again. Something from outer space. She looked like something from outer space. What kind of woman is this? What kind of woman is this? What kind of woman is this?
That was great. That was very intense. That was Buddy Guy with What Kind of Woman Is This? Welcome back to Mommy, What's a Funkadelic here on Penguin Radio, where today we are recapping our run, this evolution of all the funk music that we've discussed, all the wonderful albums and records that deserve acknowledgement. So on that note of records, so the Oakland Art Museum of California, located in Oakland, is holding a vinyl record exhibition that started on April 19th, which was a recognized record day, record store day. And so they started this exhibition where you can go and you can view, you know, notable record collections, photographs of collectors in their home, which, you know, I know people that have, you know, a crate of records, but these people, I mean, that's their life. And it's just shelves and shelves. And you can explore the history of album cover art with, I believe there's a film exploring the medium and the exhibit of album art itself. And then you can pursue, you can listen to a wide range of vinyl records spanning genres from punk, new wave, hip hop to experimental. There's definitely going to be some funk in there. And it's focusing on the independent record industry that blossomed in California from the mid-1970s to the present. You can enjoy artwork. You can learn how to use a record player and how to DJ with some videos and record players there. You can use turntables. There's headphones, 6 thematic listening stations. You can dig through records, self-curate your own crate. It's just, it's if you like music and you like, if you're a record enthusiast, go, because I from just reading on the website, it's already getting me very excited. And you can find out more information about this exhibit at the Oakland Museum of Art of California on their website. So to continue on our evolution, I'm going to play you some Red Hot Chili Peppers. So the Chili Peppers, formed in 1983, were a great example of how the more polished funk disco fusion and the funk like Parliament and Funkadelic that was going on in the 70s turned and had a more liberal attitude with the willingness to fuse into more genres. So the Chili Peppers also experimented with psychedelic and hard rock on many of their songs, and they even covered a Jimi Hendrix song, and their style was very expansive, and that's one of the reasons why they're such a popular band, and still to this day. Flea is a very respected bassist of the band. Anthony Kiedis is probably a lesser respected vocalist of the band, but regardless, their drive and their really struggle to adhere to the soul, really, of the type of music that they wanted to make from beginning to end. At the beginning, they're very true to that. You can see these young, sweaty, half-naked boys, you know, running around the stage, and you hear that in their music. Whereas now, you know, with their recent performance at the Super Bowl, it's obvious they're older. They've lost that touch with the original goal that they had. But the song I'll be playing up next is called Yertle the Turtle, and it's off their second album, Freaky Styly, which was produced by Funkadelic and Parliament King George Clinton himself. So he was really able to capture that kind of gritty funk style that they wanted without compromising their original intentions. And one of the reasons why I think this song is so funny and so great, besides the kind of nonsensical and cartoonish lyrics, is in the you'll hear the first line of the song, which is "Look at that turtle go, bro," which is not spoken by any of the band members, but instead by one of Anthony Kiedis' drug dealers, who had found him at the studio and was looking for money that Anthony owed him for drugs. Anthony did not have the money at the time, and so to kind of save his behind at this confrontation, he offered to have his drug dealer be featured on the track. And so that opening line, "Look at that turtle go, bro," is that exact situation. So here is Yertle the Turtle by 1980s Funky Dudes, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
That turtle go, bro.
On a faraway island of Sodom, I saw myself a year of the turtle. There was a king of the pond. A nice little pond, it was clean, it was neat. The water was warm, there was a plenty to eat. Until one day, the king of the mob decided the kings, and he was too small. I'm a ruler of all that I see, but I don't see enough, and that's the trouble with me. Yertle the Turtle, the king lifted his hand, and a Yertle the Turtle, the king gave a command. He ordered all the turtles onto one another's back. He piled them high into a 10 turtle's back. Oh, Yertle the Turtle, the things I now rule. I'm a king of a cloud, or I'm a king of a mule.
Look at the turtle go, bro.
Turtle looked up and said, "I beg your pardon, King Yertle, I've pains in my back.
my shoulders and my knees. How long must we stand in your majesty? Silence, the tin of the turtles bark back to the bad furry little a turtle named Mac. I'm a judge to return to old marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see.
Welcome back, listeners. This is F. Scott Funk Gerald, and you're listening to Mommy, What's a Funkadelic, where today we are recapping the semester's funk music choices that I made. And so that was some Red Hot Chili Peppers for you with Yertle the Turtle. And I chose that song, besides from the great opening lyric, because it really represents, it's a good example of how funk music had changed in the 1980s. Especially since it kind of was taken over by the Chili Peppers as a debaucherous, and you know, you hear them burping in the tracks and nonsensical cartoonish lyrics, and it's fun and it's just a different younger take on funk music. And that song in particular really shows their original intentions of how they wanted to sound and the kind of music they wanted to make. And I think that that's especially because George Clinton, king of P-Funk, produced that second album, Freaky Styly. So I'll actually be playing a song later today by one of my teachers, who told me that way back in the day, in the 80s, he had opened for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And this was when they were still playing for crowds of about 1,000 people. And he even got to touch Flea's bass, which I think is pretty cool. But anyways, so the Chili Peppers took us into the 90s and even the 2000s. They're still going. And that was on the evolution scale. But as for the modern day, one of my favorite songs from the last episode, where we talked about funk's place in the modern day and also music and the friendships and relationships that develop through music. So we listened to a song called Queen of the West Side by Brett Denon, who is this very white, redheaded, chubby, bespeckled man who just, you know, you wouldn't look at him and think, wow, this guy's really got a funky, you know, soul to him. But when you hear him sing and you hear him play, you can really hear the tension and the stress coming out of his chest and in his voice, and it's very beautiful. And I want to dedicate this song to the best friend that I've made at this school so far this year, and that is my buddy Jax, who's chilling in here in the studio with me today, keeping me company and helping me pretend like I'm not talking to myself here. So here is Queen of the West Side by Brett Denon, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Yeah, no.
Nina Simone. And all the hipsters on the east side, they think they're too cool for school, but they don't know it though. She's the queen of the west side, yes she is. She rocks me to my soul. She rocks me to my soul. Well, I'm walking down my daily and I'm singing I'm in heaven, hoping that she is me to come back. And all the know-it-alls on the north side,
listeners, welcome back. This is Mommy, What's a Funkadelic, and I'm your host, F. Scott Funk Gerald. Tonight, we're recapping past episodes because this is my last show, so I wanted to just highlight, you know, all the different eras and the generations of music that we passed through along this short little evolution. So, that was Brett Denon. The song was Queen of the West Side, and I find so much soul and of course, that funky that funky bass and guitar in there, and it's wonderful. And that song, it just really reminds me of driving around in cars and this weather. It's going perfectly together. But next for you tonight, I have some tracks from my good buddies back home in Chicago who have a band called Zoo, and they love experimenting with funk, psychedelic sounds. Also, I think their style is very heavily influenced by classic rock. And I asked them how they would describe themselves, and that is, quote, "The music played by Zoo is influenced by the classic rock of the 60s and 70s, but is also laced with the loose vibes of jamming. The freedom to explore our instruments is endless, and whatever comes to mind will be played through the instruments as a stream of sonic bliss. Zoo will also keep the classic rock and popular tunes alive with their own twist." And in this case, we definitely have a funky twist going on. So shout out to these homies back in Chicago, Derek Dare, Nor Albana, Matt Colignaze, and Damon Carner. And I know I just messed up Matt's name, but that's okay. So here is Zoo with Funkasass, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back. All right. So that was a long one, but so great. Just so impressive. That was Zoo, band from Chicago with Funkasass. And so that continues our evolution even further into the modern day and how people are interpreting funk now. And of course, they're very influenced and inspired by past musicians, but they're doing it with their own twist. So very happy and proud to have presented that song tonight. And so lastly, on my show tonight, my last track I'll play for Mommy, What's a Funkadelic? Is a track by one of my favorite teachers here at Dominican. That's Stuart Horn, and it's also with his funk band. So some facts about Stuart. Well, he teaches public speaking at Dominican University of California, as well as radio class. I heard he lives on a boat, which I think is really fascinating. I always see the houseboats in Sausalito when I'm on 101 South, and I envy those people. I would love to live on a boat. But anyways, I talked to Stu about music one day and learned a lot about his musical past. So he gave me this wonderful track of him and his buddies. So I hope you enjoy. Here is Stu Horn with his band. And the song is called Too Good. So enjoy, and you're listening to Penguin Radio.
Too good to be true. Too good to be. Too good to be true.
say innocence, innocence is divine, but somewhere along the way, you know, I lost mine. It was too good to be true. It was too good to be true. When she said, well, I love you, it was too good to be true.
All right, all right. So that was Professor Stu Horn and his wonderful band. I wish I knew what their name was. I feel like I'm totally cheating them out right now. But wonderful band. The song was called Too Good. And I was very lucky to receive that song and also to have a teacher with such great music taste. So unfortunately, Mommy, What's a Funkadelic has come to a close, but I think if you can take anything away from this semester-long radio show, it's that funk music is awesome, and also the collective learning that music is. Music builds upon each genre before it. It takes and it gives, and it also dissipates boundaries. It dissipates racism, and it builds friendships, relationships, and a better understanding of yourself and humanity through empathy and through putting that emotion in music and communicating it and other people feeling it and empathizing with it. And that is why I love music. That's why I chose to do this radio show. So if I have any listeners out there, thank you very much, and have a great evening.